The Chemical Reporter.
Hi, it's Jeff again, you know, the Chemical Reporter. In today's podcast, we're going to take a little trip back into the past. Jing from Beijing in China wants to know, what is the radiocarbon dating method? Just as the name says, this is a process that involves carbon. All organisms, plants, animals, human beings need carbon to survive. In the air, the element can be found in the commonly occurring compound carbon dioxide. Plants absorb CO2 and turn it into carbohydrates, such as the sugar glucose. We in turn absorb these carbohydrates when we eat the plants. And when we breathe out, we then release carbon dioxide back into the air. All of these steps together make up the carbon cycle. The moment an organism dies, this cycle is broken. And even thousands of years later, that moment can be dated with a great deal of accuracy using the radiocarbon dating method. The process has proven to be a huge boon to archaeologists because it reveals the age of all organic materials that were once part of the carbon cycle. That goes for everything from mummies to animal bones, and also applies to articles like books or parchment, which are made out of another organic material, paper. The American Willard Frank Libby pioneered the method and was granted the 1960 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for his discovery. In order to understand how radiocarbon dating works, you have to start with the very, very small, with atoms. The nucleus in a typical carbon atom is made up of 12 particles known as nucleons, and the chemical code used to describe it is C12. The C stands for carbon, while the 12 tells you how many nucleons the atom has. However, there are also two other variants of carbon that have more than 12 nucleons. Some carbon atoms have 13 nucleons and are logically called C13, while a few even have 14 nucleons. This kind of carbon is called C14 or carbon-14. These three types of atoms can be found on our planet in constant and predictable proportions. Around 99% of the carbon on Earth is made up of C12 atoms, while around 1% is C13, and a minute fraction is carbon-14. These C14 atoms have something in common: they don't retain 14 nucleons forever. C12 and C13 are stable. They don't feel the tooth of time, but carbon-14 decays over the centuries. After around 5,730 years, only about half of the original amount of the original C14 atoms remains in an organic object. The rest have given off radiation and reverted to the less rare C13 and C12 forms of the atom. In other words, carbon-14 is radioactive, hence the name radiocarbon. As long as an organism is alive, it continually replenishes its store of C14 atoms, which means the proportional relationship between the three types of carbon remains constant. But when death strikes, the carbon-14 clock begins to tick. The C14 atoms decay, and the total number of them in the organic substance starts falling. Over time, the proportions shift in favor of the more stable isotopes of carbon. By counting how many C14 atoms are left in a piece of organic material, you can, therefore, determine its age. If somebody digs up my desk in a few thousand years and finds a couple of petrified cookies buried under a mound of papers, then they'll be able to determine when your ace chemical reporter lived. Thanks for joining me, and see you next time. Until then, this is Jeff, the Chemical Reporter, signing out.
Do you have a question concerning chemistry in your everyday life?
Ask the Chemical Reporter and send an email to
chemicalreporter@basf.com.
BASF, the chemical company.